why is it fair that I have to put in my 2 weeks to leave, but then you could fire me the same day?
Right. A very big problem with our education today is that most of the teachers hate their jobs.
The biggest red flag in a company that you can pick up on is when your employer starts using the term family to describe their employees.
They're just working too hard. They're managing too many different jobs, jobs of three people. Two jobs is nothing. That's very like common. That's like, you know, but three, I'm hearing a lot of people doing three jobs.
Myself and Vimari Roman, a renowned career coach, examine why people hate their jobs so much right now all across America. Also, take a look at the table of contents listed in the description. As any podcast episode over an hour in length, I'm categorizing minute by minute so you can better control your listening experience. So, let's do it.
Too many days in the darkness, without a glimpse of the light. Running tired and broken and scared, but I swear I'll never give up the fight. I see you broken and beat, head pulled down over your eyes. Every part of you wants to surrender, but darling, you were meant to survive.
So why does it seem like people are really hating their jobs right now?
There are several reasons. I would say the number one reason is mismatched expectations and values, values that are not aligned. And the pandemic, the post-pandemic.
Oh, going back.
We'll blame everything on the pandemic.
No, but it's true. There's a lot of points with that.
Yeah. So, you know, people, I think after the pandemic have really reassessed their lives in general, and they realize that it's now probably, so for some people are still, it is about money, but for most people is about purpose. And, you know, what am I here to do? What am I supposed to do? Is this aligning with my purpose? And the other thing that I hear a lot is this job no longer aligns. The values of the company are no longer aligning. I've learned a lot through the pandemic. I've heard of the company has revealed their true colors, and now we're no longer in alignment. And so those are some of the main reasons, even though this is not a new phenomenon. People have hated their jobs for a very long time.
But they're being so much more vocal about it now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of times managers and, like, obviously people within companies follow each other on Instagram. And then I see a lot of people posting on their own Instagrams, like, bad things about, like, how much they hate their jobs and stuff. And I'm like, I feel like your manager is probably going to see that. You know what I'm saying? But, like, I feel like they know it, and they might even be.
They don't care.
And sometimes I think they might be indirectly trying to tell them other things like that, you know? So it is, people are becoming way more vocal about it, which I think is, I feel like we're about to hit this peak. You know, I feel like we've also obviously, you know, the quiet quitting, these little trends in here though that have always been going on. Right. You know, it's not like in the 50s and 60s, no one was just sitting at the desk like, trying to get a check and not really, you know, be there. But right now I feel like it's no longer the people that have been at companies for 15, 20 years that are feeling like that. It's people that have been there a year, 2 years, the people, the fresh blood, the people that should have all of this energy that are now starting jobs almost, I want to say like almost dead. You know, they're not the ones looking for work. You know, they're almost like looking around going, does this place really fit me? You know, I could pick up my bags and leave, you know? So, and I like what you said, mismatch expectations, I think you said.
And I think that's why you're seeing it with the people that are just getting started in their careers or getting started at the job. It's because they're not asking the right questions at the very beginning. They're being interviewed, but they're not taking the time to interview the company to really find out or do the research or look into more of the values and what the company stands for. And so then they figure it out once they're there, and they're like, wait a minute, this is not what I expected. Well, did you ask the right questions?
This reminds me of my last podcast I did about dating and on first dates, because it kind of seems like the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
mismatch expectations up front, then you get into it, then you realize it's not what you thought, and then you break up and you move on to the next, repeat the same mistake.
Yeah. And I think people just have their tolerance levels are just shorter.
And what do you think in your experience, people, when they go on that job interview, what typically people are looking for today?
What people in terms of individuals?
Yeah, like it, just in general, do you think it's really they're right now just going like, okay, how, because I feel like a lot of times people are going in now not thinking, okay, what can I do for this company, right? And how am I going to mold into that company? They're kind of like,
what can they do for me?
Yeah, what can they do for me? How does this benefit me? I'm already aligning like my life, or I'm putting this job into my life now and kind of like working out the kinks in my head and whatnot, rather than like, where's my place in this company, you know?
Right. So it's true. I think lifestyle is the biggest thing. People didn't really think, like people in my generation, I'm 47. So in that generation, we didn't really think about lifestyle. We just thought about money. Is it paying the right thing? Is it going to move me up in the right direction? I think nowadays, not just in the younger generations, but just across the board, people are like, okay, what is the lifestyle that I want to have? And is this, how is this job going to fit into that lifestyle? And when I say lifestyle, it's not just money. It's, you know, working from home, being able to be off on the weekends, have holidays off, unlimited PTO, you know, extra vacation days. Those are the things that people are really looking for. And that's really what's important. And then you've got the money, you've got the title. So people are still wanting to be recognized for their work. But ultimately, I think what we're seeing is a shift in lifestyle.
I've seen that because I know a lot of people across the board in, you know, working for either the government, it could be the military, it could be private sector, could be anything. And right now, I feel like the PTO bank is at zero or in the negative, where actually they're borrowing the PTO that they're going to accrue for later on in the year, just because like they're trying to use it now. And that's like almost being in PTO. It's in PTO debt, you know? And, but there's also a ton of jobs, obviously, where, you know, people hear PTO, they're like, wait, what's that? It was like, wait, paid time off.
Yeah.
Ooh, you know, it's like, it piques your interest. And that was foreign to me before I got into the corporate world. And I was like, wait, there's PTO. We got 4 weeks of PTO a year, which was basically a whole month of being paid time off, which is obviously way different than a lot of different service jobs where like, if you don't work, you don't get paid. And I feel like also a lot of people don't know a lot of these things until you actually like get into the job, you know, but I can say that, you know, the lifestyle I think is what people are really looking for in a job, which I think is just meshing and just designed for failure when you're looking for a new job. And the main thing you're thinking about is your lifestyle, because you're typically there to work and they're there to pay you, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the
exchange,
the X's. And, yeah. That's the simple exchange. That's the X's and O's, you know, and the lifestyle, like, I don't want to say like put it second, to sound bad, but like by putting it first, it's almost like it's just not going to work over the course of time, or you might just stretch yourself and, you know, see how far you can push your patience and your tolerance until you end up wanting to jump ship and, you know, and it's tough. And obviously everyone's geared right now for the work remote. I feel like everyone would want those jobs right now, even though they're kind of
going away
very quickly. But at the same time, it's like, what is the intention behind trying to get a work from home job? You know, because I tried that at one point. I was like, oh my God, I want to work from home. I want to make money. And then just like wake up, roll over, open my emails, go back to sleep, go to the gym. But, you know, at the same time, the intentions though are like, how can I milk this job?
Right.
Then rather than what can I provide from home for the company, right?
Yeah. So the work from home phenomenon is also contributing to this, believe it or not, I hate my job. Because people that work from home, it takes a lot of, what do you call it? You have to be
disciplined,
right? It takes a lot of discipline. And so what happens is you're blurring the lines. Now your home becomes your work, and yeah. it's so easy to, you know, we're connected all the time with our phones and our computers, and people, especially high achievers, it's hard for them to put that down and separate and have those boundaries. And so they're thinking, oh, great, I'm working from home. I have all this freedom. You know, I can put in my laundry, go for a walk in the middle of the day. Then that doesn't happen. That might happen at the very beginning, but then it doesn't happen. And then if they don't create these boundaries, they're going to burn out. So that's one reason why someone may be hating their jobs. And so it's not necessarily the job's fault that you're in that position. It's the fact that you haven't created the boundaries and that you're not looking at your work integration life balance. Right. So I always say there's no such thing as work-life balance, but there's that life integration. So how do you integrate your life and your work and have that balance somewhat so that it's a healthy balance for you and you're not burning out from it?
Well, the work-life balance too, I feel like a lot of times people and companies will be the first ones to say like, oh yeah, we want to have that balance. We know you have a life. And as soon as they're saying that, I'm like, I know where you're going with this, you know, because I feel like when people try to make that like a budget they make with their expenses, you know, work life, okay, I work X amount of hours. Like, I feel like work needs to be viewed as your life, like actually part of your life, because it really is. Because you end up spending anywhere between 8 to 9 hours actually at work, not including the commute. And most people's commute is anywhere between 20 minutes to an hour, maybe more one way. So now you're at 10, 11 hours. And then by the time realistically you get home, and I know it's especially from the second you wake up to the when you go to work, you're thinking about work. You know, that's why you feel so miserable.
Right.
You know? And then when you get home, you're also decompressing. So then you're at realistically 11 to 12 hours of actual work. So if you're not, which is the majority of the day, you add in sleep, you know, the day is gone, which is the majority of the day. So if you're not enjoying what you're doing for work, you're admitting then that you're not enjoying most of the day, which 5 days a week, maybe six, you're then admitting you're not enjoying most of your life, which is really, really sad. It really is sad. And I mean, I've been there myself. I know what a ton of people that are there. I feel like the majority of people are there. I feel like anytime I call a customer service line, I obviously hear it in the voice that it's there as well. And it's like that's like a point of like trying to do this podcast as well, because I was like, I feel like this is such an underlying issue that then drives people going home unhappy, less patience with their family members. They want to spend like on luxurious, you know,
overspending, increased divorce rates.
Yeah,
like it's all tied in, you know. So what I tell my
clients, all related. It's all related. Health issues too, because I saw a video the other day, it said basically like the disease doesn't just start as the disease. It starts with going to bed late, eating crappy, sleeping crappy, having crappy relationships, and then all that toxicity that develops in your body turns into diseases, and then that's when it happens. So like, you want to start by being healthy, you got to start way in the lying air.
No, it's so true, which is why I always advocate for life integration. You know, I tell people there's no work is part of our lives. So if you're going to spend most of your time at work, you might as well do something that brings you purpose, that brings you joy. You know, the fear is for most people is, am I ever going to find that? Right. And so that starts like everything else at a young age. Right. Yeah. And it's because we're forced at the age of 17 or maybe 16, 15 to start thinking about what am I going to do when I grow up? What am I going to go to college for? So now kids are preparing. They have their parents' pressure. A lot of the times it's their parents' wishes and dreams that are forced into these individuals. Now they're going to school for something that they really have no passion or interest in.
They have no idea about.
Now they have a degree. And so where focus goes, energy flows. So if you're not, you know, so into it or passionate about the work that you're going to be doing, you're not going to put that energy into when looking for work. It's not going to come across in an interview. So now they're saying, oh, I can't find a job and I just graduated and I have this degree, right? But where's the passion, Where's, you know, what are you contributing?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's so many ways. You tell me which way you want to go with this conversation. Because, and then you have the people, you know, one of the things that I fell into my work. And I say I fell into it because I'm a second generation hotelier. So my first career, I spent 22 years within the hospitality industry. My father was a general manager for hotels. And from the time I was a little girl, I was folding napkins and learning how to do things in hospitality. And then at 15, I started working at my dad's last hotel as at the front desk. And so I was really, really good at service and, you know, have a service heart. So hospitality came really, really natural to me. And I initially wanted to study psychology. And it's funny how things come around because I didn't study psychology, but, you know, I continue with my hospitality and I grew in the industry. And, but I always asked myself, what else is out there? There must be something else out there for me. Now, I wasn't miserable because I really enjoyed it. But
that's good then. At least you weren't, you know.
I enjoyed it. What I found was, is that, and this is where I'm tying it now to the work that I'm doing, is every 3 years I needed to have some type of change, right? And it's just because I got bored. I really, you know,
so you're 3 years. I'm about like 13, 14 months. Yeah.
Everybody has, but the average after it's studying about 3 years.
It makes sense.
Because the first year you're excited, you're learning the job. Yeah. The second year you're flowing. So now the third year is just like, okay, what's next? What's going on next, right? So for me, every 3 years, I was able to find that movement. And so that's what it took to me 22 years to finally say, okay, now I've outgrown this industry. I've outgrown my career, right? But some people spend 22 years hating their jobs.
I know.
And I'll never forget, you know, and my mom's probably, if she listens to this, she's going to kill me. But, you know, I'm going to use her as an example.
My parents will watch is they hear is the cursing and stuff like that. And they're like, Daniel, did you really have to say the F word like that? Did your mother F in this? And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So my mom worked for Miami-Dade County for the criminal courts for a long time.
Yeah.
She just retired from it. And all, you know, I heard after, especially after I moved from New York to, I lived with her for about a year before I moved out on my own. And all I heard from her and her coworkers, which were her best friends, were they hate their jobs. And all they did was gossip about the people that were at the job and the this that. And I remember I was still
such a symptom of hating your job too, when you're getting in the workplace drama.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was so much drama. That's all they would talk about. It was like no one was good enough.
They go home, tell their husband. Yeah.
So, you know, I would hear this and I remember I was still in hospitality. I would say, I don't ever want to be in that position. Yeah. I don't want to ever be in a position where I hate my job. Life is really short. Am I going to be hating this job forever or am I going to do something about it? So, and then we have always two types of people. You have the people that take action and then the non-action takers, right? The complainers, you know? Yeah. And so the complainers are just going to go into that culture of hating their jobs, criticizing people. It's always someone else's fault why they hate their jobs, right? They're not communicating well. And then you have the action people that say, okay, well, this is not for me anymore. I recognize that this is not for me. What's next?
Yeah. Well, I think too, also, I think the delay in marriage and having kids as well and staying in a career longer also drives a little bit of that too, because when I feel like when people have kids, at the end of the day, work comparison to the kids, there is just bigger fish to fry, you know, and your time is so, so valuable where you're like, oh my God, no, I'm getting out of work. I have to do, you know, and people start comparing their job problems with their kid problems and it's not even close, honestly, you know? So I feel like now with a lot of people more entering like late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, in their early 40s who are working in the corporate sector, you know, without, you know, family and relationships and so, and kids, I feel like there's obviously way more of a focus, a major focus on the job, what's going on with the job, where am I in my job? And they're lining up their 6-month, 3-year plan. And that's, I feel like it's consuming obviously way more of their life, mm-hmm. you know? And when it does that, I feel like it's obviously your stress isn't going to be spread out. It's mm-hmm. going to be tunneled into just your job rather than spread with kids, family, work, and the house, obviously, mm-hmm. too, and the apartment. And when, because when I was growing up, I felt like my parents, obviously, a little bit of chatter with job after work. But then after that, it was more so like, you know, kids got to go to practice, go to job, we take care of the house. Like it was more of a spread focus, which now, you know, it's, I feel like a lot of people, delaying things. I mean, myself included too. I mean, I'm a single guy, working guy. Yeah. That's, you know, and obviously most of your life is consumed with just what you have mm-hmm. going on. So I feel like a little bit of more focus on the work now with people with the delay of kids and family kind of plays a little bit of a role in that. But I also want to get your thoughts on your story too. With you've been 22 years, you said, right? Do you did you find yourself as the job hopper, or did you find yourself as like that one company person and trying to move up that same ladder? Because when we were talking about that 3-year, you know, I'm on something new.
Yeah.
Me reflecting on my own corporate experience and work experience, I think of it so much differently than I first thought of it when I first started. Because when I first started working, I was like, okay, I'm going to grow in this company. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really, you know, you start seeing the positions open that you're like trying to align where you're going. But now looking back, if I could go back, I would be a 6-monther. Mm-hmm. I would start, get my feet in, increase some leverage, you know, to where you become valuable to that company, mm-hmm. to where like what you say or what you ask for is taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And then once I'm in 6 months, I'd start looking, putting out resumes all over the place. You know, and I want to get your thoughts on what you did in yours.
So I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't job hop now. I don't recommend it.
Really?
I also, well, it depends. There's always that, it depends.
It depends, yeah. Because I'm like, if I could go back, I'd be that corporate slut where I'd be like, I start at one company and then within 3, 4 months, 6 months, right. I'm like, no.
There's a strategy to everything, right? So it really depends on the strategy. So in my case, I was not a job hopper. Right. So company hopper. I'm sorry. I continued to grow and I had such a success because I was being strategic and I knew that I didn't want to stay in one place. Mm. Right. So growth was always a focus for me. So in 22 years, I think it was only about 5 companies that I worked at.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah.
That's not bad. That is really good, especially for today. 5 companies. Yeah. Because I can tell you about, I had a story. I put in, it's probably the worst, you know, the worst like deed, I would say. Yeah, I did, where it's especially talking about being like a job slut. I slutted out. I put in my 2 weeks to one job, went to a different job. 3 days later, went back to my old job, said, hey, I'll come back in a new role, blah, blah, blah. They accepted me. So I went to the new job I just started, told them I'm done, went back to the old job. A week later, that job I just went back to, put in my 2 weeks again, and went to a new job. This was all in a month. This is all in a month, you know? And then, so I was basically spending like almost like a month just doing training, right, you know, because of all these new jobs.
So I'm curious, what made you do that?
Opportunity, trying to grow, just being, you know, sick of being in the same spot, you know, same money, and just really trying to, you know, and I would say really having the craving so much of growth that you're just willing to drop bodies. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I don't care what people think of me anymore. Right. I really don't. For once, I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to grow. And I will grow no matter how many bodies I have to drop.
Okay.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and that's not who I was my whole career. That's a like 0.01% of who I was. But, you know, you spend, I mean, at that time, you know, probably 7-8 years of working full time after school. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you know, of being loyal to companies and just not seeing any reciprocation of that, it really, like, you know, it stings. It stings, and you kind of carry it around. Resentment is mm-hmm. very heavy. And when you carry it around long enough, you realize how much ammo you have. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And all it takes is just that one little, you know, that one little shot to fire you off. And you just, you know, you don't take your eye out of the scope. Mm-hmm. You just don't, until you reached really what you really, really, really want, which I did. Mm-hmm. I did, but, you know, and that's why I say, like, if I could go back, I mean, I would do that from the start. Mm-hmm. Because then, I mean, in that 1 month time, I really went from kind of struggling to what I really wanted mm-hmm. in just 1 month. And that's only just because I put my foot on the gas, mm-hmm. refused no, and pushed through everything.
So when I listen to you, what I hear is that you were aligning your values and your goals with your career, right? And so until you found that place that aligned,
yeah,
then you hopped, right? So that's why I say it really just depends on what you're set to do, right? And so if you're purpose driven, you want to align your values and your goals with your career, you're given the opportunity during those 3 months, first 3 months, in your case, it was a couple of weeks, but the first 3 months.
It was so uncomfortable. I have to say too, it was the most uncomfortable thing ever, because I hate, you know, having those conversations. Right. Those like, hey, I'm leaving. And then starting, and then interviewing with a new place, selling them. And I hate when, because I would hate for this somebody to do to me, where, like, you know, you are speaking with somebody in an interview, you're selling them on you. Mm-hmm. And then they buy in, they hire you, they invest in you. And then right around the corner, you go and say, you know, but I can say there was not one time where I lied, where mm-hmm. I was like, hey, I'm looking for this and I'm really mm-hmm. not, you know, I was really upfront on everything, which makes me, you know, have no regrets, because I don't feel like I necessarily like screwed anybody over. Right. I was just really upfront. I was just, and everybody actually, yeah. I was like, this is, you know, a better opportunity.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I would tell them where I'm going. So right. I kind of, you know, I can walk away unscathed emotionally behind it.
Yeah. And I think that leads back to the mismatched expectations, right? So you had matched your expectations because you communicated, whereas most people don't. And so if you don't communicate from the start, then it's going to be, you know, wait a minute, this is a surprise. And, you know, and that's where you start to break bridges, right? And you don't want to do that. So it's really about knowing how to play your cards right.
Yeah.
You know, and communicating.
And utilizing your leverage too. Appropriately. Correct. Too, because you don't want to over, you know.
Yeah. So, you know, I wished my last opportunity, and I can't say that I wish, because there was a very good reason why I had to stay in that hotel for a year. But my last hotel, I knew after the first day that I was with the wrong company. The mm-hmm. wrong culture. It was literally the first couple of hours that I stepped into that hotel. But my pride and...
Well, you were the person who's like, I'm going to change this.
Well, I didn't say I was going to change it, but I said, you know, I'm going to do what I said I was going to do, you know, which is improve their, you know, their group business and improve their revenue.
What you came in to do.
What I came to do. I'm going to do that and I'm going to leave, right? I don't have to love the culture. Yeah. I didn't have to. Now, I think that step helped me to do what I'm doing today, because if I did go in there with the intention that would be my last hotel, I just didn't think it was going to be a year. I thought it was going to be like a 3-year. It was an international company, global company. So I said, well, maybe I'll move to Europe. I was considering moving to Europe, and then I could transfer with them. And so I figured maybe 3 to 5 years would be my, I would retire from the hospitality industry and then do something new. But if someone else didn't have that thought process, they didn't want to retire from the industry, they were planning on staying another 10, 15 years, my advice today to them would be, if they had the same experience that I had that first day, it would be, quit. There's no reason why you have to stay after realizing that it's not a good fit on the first day. Right. So because we really don't know, you know, during an interview, the company's putting their best foot forward. You're putting your best foot forward. And it's like you said in dating, right? If you're not asking the right questions, then, you know, you're both putting your best foot forward and you don't know the reality of anything until you get there. So that's why many companies offer the first 3 months as, you know, your probation period, they have the right to, you know, terminate you.
Yeah, pretty much for them, but yeah. And they don't communicate it to you, you know, vice versa. It's funny you say that too, because it's kind of like the, because I've thought about this. I was like, why is it fair that I have to put in my 2 weeks to leave, but then you could fire me the same day?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And obviously there's things that obviously why, but then there's also the fairness of where I've thought about that. I'm like, it's a little not so balanced.
No, and it isn't. But you know, in life, not a lot is balanced, right? But you know, understanding that three, and this is where I when I speak to my clients through coaching them, is to realize that those 3 months are also for you to realize whether or not this is a good fit.
Yeah, it's very true.
And so that 3 months, yes, they're saying that it's, you know, for them, but it's really for you too. So if someone gets into a job and you have that feeling from the first day, like I did that day, it's probably not going to get better. You know, so it's keeping your doors open, continuing to interview. And then while you're there to see, things might get better, but most of the time they don't. And so there's nothing bad about quitting a job after you start and you see that it's not the right culture, it's not the right fit for you. Now we can avoid that or try to avoid it with asking the right questions during the interview. Again, sometimes they're just showing you their best, you know, they've got their gown on and they're, you know, their best.
Yeah, they're
like dressed up for you, right? But, and you don't see the reality until after. But there are some questions you could ask that will, you know, just do your due diligence. And if you have to hop, you hop. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, at the time that I went through that situation, I thought there was something wrong with that. I'm like, oh, there's no way.
I did too at first. That's why I never did, really.
It'll look horrible on my resume. That was my first thought. It's going to look horrible on my resume if I quit, right? And in reality, no, because you can explain it, you know? And sometimes you do leave them out of your resume. Sometimes you don't. It just really depends, right? Yeah. It depends on, you know, every situation is different. I just say that if ultimately every single human from the moment that they're born, you know, and they can think, is they ask themselves this question. Why am I here? What am I here to do? And your work is part of that process. Your career is part of that purpose because we spend so much time. And so, and we're giving talents, right? We're given talents that are very unique to us and that set us apart from our competitors, set us apart. And so if we lean into those talents, if we figure out what are those talents, what are we passionate about, and find that purpose, then we wouldn't have what we're having, which is so many people hating their jobs. You know, my husband has said to me for, you know, a long time, you know, I don't need to have purpose in my job. You know, I could just do a job, get paid.
You can, man. You can,
but that's not sustainable.
No.
It's not long term. It's not sustainable because I'm telling you, I'm 47 years old. I've seen it before while I was in the hospitality industry in the last 10 years as a coach, you know, and especially focusing with just career transitions. I see it every single day, you know.
Well, that's why I got out of the Army too. That was the biggest reason was because I was realizing the worst time that I had was on my way there. And the best time that I was feeling about it was when I was leaving.
Yeah.
And then also seeing that across the board with everybody else. I mean, it was like the last day of school when it was over, it's time to go home. And I'm, you know, watching these grown ass men going, like they're getting all giggity and stuff like that. And I'm like,
this, coming out of jail.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm like, this is exactly it is. They're taking off the, you know, but, and I'm like, it really should be the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, you should be sad when you're going home and then happy when you're going there the majority of the time. I would say like 90% is a good, you know, shot for it. But like, I feel like most of the time, especially then me and most people today, I feel like are the opposite, where it's like 10%, you know, you're looking forward to going in. And usually at 10% on Friday on a shortened day or a long weekend afterwards, which plays a role into why you're feeling happy about it when it has nothing to do even with the job in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, so and that's when I really started to realize and analyze myself, where I was like, all right, if I'm feeling like that on the way, I really shouldn't be doing this, you know, A, because it's obviously not fair to you. You should not be doing that to yourself. No. And at the end of the day, it is not fair to your employer.
No.
You know, when you're putting on the fake smile going, oh, I love to be here. You know, you should leave, because if you leave, then another person leaves and everybody else leaves. You're communicating that way of like, something's wrong here. You know, is something's missing and maybe you guys should add on something. Because I started learning that. And then in the corporate world, really, when I was realizing I really hate not only the job, but like this industry, this field, this like suit and tie aspect of being in office. When I was really hit the fan was when I was seeing business, like the insides of the business. And when you hit the management level, you start to see payroll, how people are treated, why people are hired, why people are fired. And then, oh my God, I should have carried a bucket around with me so I can puke in it once a day, because it was so nasty. And also, like, people don't pick up on the disrespect behind actions, really. You know, people really just hear the words, and they know if it's disrespectful or not, but actions, where one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen on the corporate level, which I was like the only one picking up on, I was like, look around. I was like, is anyone else seeing this?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it was the opposite, because everybody else was like, oh my God, that's nice. That's nice. And I'm sitting here like, are you kidding me right now? Was we worked in the property management field, where we're doing, you know, rentals and, you know, 450 unit apartment building, especially during COVID. And I was responsible for like renewals, like people renewing their leases, right? And down here in South Florida, you know, everything going crazy. I was renewing people's leases for up to 40% increase.
40%
increase. Because A, the prices were so low and they were getting jacked up by everything opening up, people moving down. And it was a combination of really like people wanting South Florida, while at the same time, South Florida's rents were so, so undervalued. So it was like the perfect storm for it, you know? And also, I was a tremendous salesperson. That's the only reason you can really get that. You know, you care about it, you're trying, and you're working for the company. And I was also communicating with people. So I was very personable. And we did such a good job that the ownership of the building goes, we're going to sell the building now. We just bought it. We're going to sell it now because it's so valued because we helped increase it, you know? And here I am making about like anywhere between 45 and 60 grand a year. I'm not getting a bonus on these renewals. Like, it just, that's just my job, you know? But I'm competitive. And when somebody's sitting in front of me, I want to, you know, we're going back and forth, going back and forth. But, you know, when the building was selling, you know, I was like, and we were moving on to the next building, I was just kind of like not feeling bad, because it was market rent. I was really just bringing people to market rent, and I wasn't lying or anything. It was just the game of it. But I was like, you know, what did I really gain from this? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm making the same money at the end of the day. There's no like, you know, the NFL's getting good right now because they're doing like performance-based system, which is across the board. It's not just like you have to hit this one goal, it's do or die, you know? So you can really do well throughout it. And I felt terrible because I was like, dude, I put so much time and effort into this, you know, and I'm here at what? You know what I'm saying? And as we're leaving, the owners sent us a gift. The team a gift. And, you know, they're selling this for, I mean, we're talking, I couldn't even ballpark it, but a couple $100 million building that they were selling. And they sent us a box of chocolates. a box of chocolates.
Oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. It's either a box of chocolates or there's cookies. It was chocolate cookies, something like that. And our like upper management who never I know you're laughing right now. I want the fucking punch, blow a hole through my office, you know what I'm saying? And break all the glass on my way out. And
what type of chocolate?
I couldn't even. And I've never been angry at chocolate, getting chocolates, you know? And I remember a regional.
It's like Forrest Gump says, life is like a
box
of
chocolates. Yeah,
you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right with it. Because I remember our like upper management, you know, person who like you rarely see, emails us and goes, hey, there's something sent for you guys from the ownership. Like, let me know what it is so we can thank them and all that. So I go down to the desk, say, yeah, it's there. It's a box of chocolates. And I'm infuriated because this was not $10,000 in cash staring at me. This was like $100 of chocolates. You know what I'm saying?
If so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm just thinking about the slave work that I just put in. You know what I'm saying? And we're actually like this whole thing, we actually fired ourselves because we did so well that they sold it. And now we're out of a job.
Yeah.
Our company who was contracted for this and now has to find this new position. So we fired ourselves by doing good.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm just like, holy shit. And now the person who said they sent you something now puts us all in an email and says, and to this person playing the game and goes, thank you so much. Like that was such an amazing gift, blah, blah, blah. Cause they want to sustain the relationship. And here I am like pounding my laptop on my desk. Like you've got to be kidding me with this, you know? And I was like, this is corporate, like this is moral fraud. This is moral fraud is what I thought. And it just, that bugged me. And you know, that was obviously one of many things in the corporate field that you see, but you know, one other thing in that was boiling was you're going on rant time, right? Rant time. I'm like, oh, let's get it out. Yeah, I got the punching bags on. Who wants it? But I feel like everyone throughout the every social institution in the world can kind of relate with this right now, because I've seen this trend, which is and I think the biggest red flag in a company that you can pick up on is when your employer starts using the term family to describe their employees. Because what they're really trying to do is make you feel important while at the same time not providing anything of importance to you.
There are dysfunctional families.
There are dysfunctional families. Yeah.
They're not telling you.
This is true. This is true. You know, but I was like,
see, it's all about the expectations.
Yeah, it is. You're not kidding.
If you have expectations to be treated with respect, but you're not demanding that respect, then you're going
to
be disappointed.
You're allowing yourself to kind of,
So, you know, and it's interesting because I didn't even think about like having a, like what is going to be our theme, but you know, expectations are everything. It's like I said to my, you know, and I tell my husband that all the time because I don't get upset with anything. I'm just like, oh, it is what it is, you know, and it is what it is. I even have a little quote written down in my office. Because when we have expectations, chances are that we're going to be disappointed. We're not allowing surprise.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and at the same time, we need to set our expectations if we are going to, you know, if we are growth driven, if we are wanting anything, set your expectations, you know, be clear about them, communicate them. You can't just have expectations without communicating your expectations, because then it's going to happen.
Yeah. When you look back, it's nice if you look back on anything that's failed in your life and you go, well, what was my expectation? Start there. It's really easy and quick to see where things went wrong. Like, oh, I went into the ocean not thinking I'd get wet. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, okay. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. People need flexibility because,
especially today, we're like,
people, not everyone, you know, you might be a morning person. I might not be a morning person. So why are you forcing me to come in at 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm here till 6 o'clock anyway? Because when everybody leaves is when I really get my best work done. Right. Yeah. So a good leader, you know, which is another reason why people are hating their jobs, is that the leadership doesn't realize that they're human and the people they're managing or leading are humans too.
Yeah.
And we all have different needs and lifestyles. So that contributes to the, I hate my job too. It's the leadership, not having that flexibility, not that understanding, corporate being so rigid. Yeah. Oh, we just, you have to be, you know, and people have to be, you know, get their big pants on, because by 2026, they're saying CEOs are saying they want everybody back in the office.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be really interesting to see. I'm glad I'm not in that fucking mix anymore. but it is going to be interesting, because it's kind of like that fight inward. And speaking about leadership, actually, my posted an Instagram reel, which was also a TikTok and YouTube short yesterday, on basically asking people, you know, why do you hate your job? You know, I was like, do you hate your job? Everybody, if you do hate your job, please comment. Let me know why. I'll bring your comment up on the podcast and we'll talk about it. And if you don't like, and if you do like your job, also I want to hear from you as well.
Right.
Because that's important, because I feel like it's equally important. Why do you like your job? Maybe people can hear about why people do like their job, hate their job, and also kind of go back and forth. So I've got about 5 or 6 comments here that I just want to mention here, which is super cool. And also it opens up the mind too. And you also, there's some commonalities and so forth here. But a lot of them brought up leadership, administration, and those things, which are really the decision makers on these things. And what we were talking about before, lifestyle being a big one. Have here, I'll go with fake names only. We'll start off with Emily.
Okay, Emily.
And I'll play the TikTok for you first here so you can hear it.
Okay.
So you know exactly what they're responding to.
Do you hate your job? I feel like most Americans do. And it's almost like weird when somebody does like their job. It's like, wait, why? Is it because something's too much work? They're not getting paid enough? They don't feel like they're getting paid enough? They don't like their coworkers? Do they just not enjoy what they do? And I'm recording this podcast called Why Do People Hate Their Jobs? Why do people hate their jobs? So leave a comment or DM me and letting me know some reason so I can bring this up on the podcast. And if you do like your job, leave a comment or send a DM as well telling me why you like your job, so then we can understand why you like your job. People are so unhappy with what they do every single day, because what you do every single day literally takes up the majority of your life. It's about 8 to 10 hours a day, at least five days a week. And if you're not liking what you do, then you are actually unhappy most of your life. And that is such a huge problem, especially in America right now. So a big topic I'm talking about on the podcast this week. So tell me why.
So on my website, one of the things, you know, one of the quotes or something that we wrote on the website is, life is too short to hate your job.
Yeah. That actually might call my eye. I was like, I need her on the podcast. That was probably it.
It is. It's too short.
It is way too short, man. It is way too short. Yeah. To go off it, we have Emily here. She responded to the video saying, I don't get paid enough to be bullied by teenagers, and all the work I do for work is outside of contract hours. And basically what she's talking about is in the education field, you know, teacher-ish, coach. And so getting bullied by teenagers, I think, you know, obviously there's, you know.
Oh, so she's speaking of the children.
Yeah, speaking of the kids, which is a commonality, because a lot of times, even in business, people complain about the customers being too, like, you know, overly aggressive. So, and the teenagers are just customers.
So that is an entirely new podcast.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is.
Because a very big problem with our education today is that most of the teachers hate their jobs.
Hate it right now. I was at an event where it was like a teacher celebration or something, like a retirement party, a couple months ago. And it was funny because all the teachers were 45 plus, 50 plus, except one woman who was 26. And both my parents were teachers, so I like fluctuated with them greatly. And I was like, oh, hey, both my parents are teachers. They're like, oh my God, public schools again. and I... and you know, teachers, I mean, they're drinking. They're drinking.
I was going to say that. But what is the a sign of drinking is that you're running away from something.
Yeah. And avoidance,
I'm not, judging anyone, but that is, so true.
It is. Yeah. You want to find some outlet, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people think, oh, well, here's tricks to avoid drinking more. It's like, no, you should probably just get rid of some of these problems first and then it'll go away. But they're drinking. I mean, lawyers drink. I don't know if any, if you put every single occupation out in the out at a bar, I think lawyers could outdrink the cops. Yeah. They could, well, maybe not the cops,
lawyers?
But they could outdrink the teachers. I don't know who can outdrink more: teachers, cops, lawyers. Who else are we missing here?
Attorneys hate their jobs.
They really hate their jobs, man. It's funny because they're very proud of the title, but then they're like,
but they hate it. There's so many. Yeah. If you look at transitions,
they're on their 12th martini in an hour.
If you look at the amount of people that go to law school, and you look at the people that are actually practicing law, you'll be surprised. It's a big difference because it's not what they thought it was. And there's a big transition. Actually, there's a friend of mine who transitioned from, she went to law school, she was an attorney, transitioned, and she said, you should focus on attorneys because attorneys hate their jobs.
You should. They do. They hate their jobs.
So if you're an attorney and you hate your job.
Yeah. Well, and they're so good at covering it up, too. They're the best ones at covering up. Actually, I think, you know, who could take the cake with drinking is military people. I think they could outdrink everybody to the point where people are literally, they're past the vomiting stage. They're actually dead. And the military people are still talking normal. That's how much they hate their jobs. And any occupation going drink for drink. I think lawyers could stay with them a little bit, but the military people would kill them on the shots. You know, lawyers, they love the martinis, but military people, we go shot for shot, it's over.
Yeah.
Teacher second, though. I mean, because, I mean, I feel what Emily's saying here. All the work I do outside of contract hours, meaning before work and after work, very common trend, especially in education, teachers spending their own money on supplies and then also not feeling appreciated for spending their own money. It's kind of like an expectation.
But here's the thing. Life is about choices. Emily's got a choice. She can leave and not be a teacher anymore.
This is true.
She doesn't have to spend those extra hours. And she doesn't have to be bullied by teenagers. She is choosing to do so because she's fearful of what's out there for her.
That's a good point.
So I'm sorry, but I don't, I can understand how Emily feels.
But you would tell her,
if
you're unhappy, take an action. Whenever you're unhappy, take an action.
Yeah.
That's tough love. And I love that.
Yeah.
It is. You know, if you're working outside of contract hours, you know, I mean,
boundaries.
Yeah.
Who's forcing you?
Yeah.
Because you have leverage.
You do. And people don't realize the leverage they have.
Yeah.
They do not. When you really grind it out and really do a deep dive into what you offer, use the leverage. The worst thing in the world, like the saying, you know, it's so sad when, you know, waste talent goes wasted. Leverage. When you have it, it is expirable. It will expire.
You need to use it.
Yes.
No, I tell all my clients, know your worth.
Exactly.
Leverage.
And that's why even before, like if you're in a job 6 months, it could be 2 months. If you see that you have leverage, use it.
Yes.
Use it. Because it's the worst thing when, you know, now you need to leave or have to leave. And now you don't have that same leverage.
Well, so many people I hear, I have consultations all the time. I have this guy who wants to move forward and he's at a company he loves. And when he lit up about what he does. And I said, well, have you told them that this is what you want to do at your company? Like, why are you having to leave your company? Why can't you just go to them? And if they're valuing you as as an employee, maybe they'll give you that opportunity. Yeah. Maybe they'll create that opportunity. Leverage the work that you're doing now and ask for that opportunity. When I started in sales, when I went to that GM, they didn't have a sales position available. They created a position for me. Now, I had an interview for it. Other people interviewed for it. And I was the best candidate.
Yeah.
But they created that position.
Yeah.
Right? So leveraging and knowing your expertise, knowing the value that you bring is so important.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound like an asshole here, yeah, but there are times to use that leverage, and it's best to use that leverage when people are, or companies are, in a weak spot.
Yeah.
It is because they're going to do it,
yeah,
to you.
Yeah.
They're going to do it to you. Mm-hmm. They're going to ask you to do things for them,
yep,
when they know you owe them, or, you know, whatever, yeah, reason, they're going to use it against you. So it's not, you know, you've got to take advantage of things when you have them. Right. You know, I mean, it's natural, right? I mean,
I'm curious. Who else do we have?
Well, I said, what would you be looking for in a new job if you were to look?
Okay.
I asked, fake name Emily. Yeah. Uh-huh. She said, probably a job that is less stressful and compensates properly, or a SADM. S-A-H-D-M is the acronym. You ever hear of that?
S-H?
S-A-H-D-M.
S-A-H-D-M. No, I don't know. It doesn't come to mind.
Stay at home dog mom. I got you on that one. She really did say that, though. Yeah.
I love it. I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one, Emily.
I told her, I was like, you know, I'm going to bring this on the podcast, right?
I love it.
No.
I want to be a bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know, right?
Okay.
So those are good. And then we'll go over to the next one.
Okay, so I don't mean to pick on Emily. Yeah. Emily's in need of purpose, big time.
Yeah.
So, you know, because she can't answer. And so when you're in that position, all you could think of is getting fight or flight. I just want to get out. And then, mm-hmm, they just think about, I just want to be on a beach, you know, or, yeah, yeah, doing nothing.
They do. And I always say, that'll be nice for a,
yeah,
week.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah. So that's really, yeah, she needs to take action quick.
Yeah. To either correct what is crossing the boundaries now, which the company may not even know,
no,
about the boundaries,
right,
first of all. You know, and then, yeah, so take action now. And then if it's not corrected, you know, in the next year or two, I mean, start aligning something different for yourself.
A year
then,
or two is too long for her. I think she's done.
You think she's done? Yeah, I think she's done.
I mean, I hear it all the time. So it's like, you know, I always say to my clients when they, or my potential clients, when they do a consultation, okay, so what's going on? What's brought you to want to hire a professional at this time?
Yeah.
And usually it's when they're done, yeah, right? Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah. And then you give them the x-ray. You know,
you know, so well, what's next?
On the next one, I don't hate my job. Overall, I've loved it because of the people I've worked for are amazing people. Not going to lie. I had a while where I didn't love it because of some of the people I've worked with. Normal. Especially if you're in an office with multiple people. LOL, I don't love the office administrator right now. I like her personally, but she micromanages, which I'm not a fan of. Good thing I don't work directly for her. Also, one thing I don't like is people are retiring and they are not being replaced, which piles more work on us. The raises are 2 to 3% and the firm keeps telling us how well they have been doing profits, yet we don't see any of the money.
Yeah.
And, this popped up a corporate, yeah, story in my mind because it was funny when she had said, people are retiring and they're not being replaced when, yeah, they're retiring.
Yeah.
When I left my corporate job, one of the people that I was managing, I knew was going to be filling my job. Mm-hmm. So I told them, I said, hey, I make X amount of money. I gave him the exact amount a year. I was like, and he was basically like the person to, yeah, get the job. I was like, when they're gonna try to give you a number, but tell them literally that this is what Dan made, mm-hmm, you know, and to make sure you don't get screwed over. And I told, and I was like, and to tell you the truth, they're probably not gonna replace your position. So, mm-hmm, you're probably gonna still have to do your position,
right,
and my position. So a couple months goes by, I'm out of the corporate world, I'm like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm loving it. And then caught up with them, and what happened? They did hire him. They didn't replace
him.
And I didn't think he was actually going to do this. But when they were giving him his salary, they lowballed the shit out of it, right? And then he said, well, no, I think the position is more like at this number.
Yeah.
And they said, no, it's not in the budget, blah, blah, blah. And then he said to them, no, Dan actually made this amount of money. And he actually told me to tell you this. Just in case when this would happen. Oh, and he said God. That to their face. And
how'd it go?
No, he, you know, they no.
No?
No. They hardballed him and said, well, we're only paying this amount. So not only did they subtract his payroll from his current position, so they saved probably like 40, 45 grand a year. Yeah. Then also another probably 8 to 10 grand off of,
so
you know.
This is a trend, Dan. Is a trend now, especially after the pandemic. They're doing it. A lot of companies are doing it. They're not replacing, you know, they didn't bring back everybody, right? So after the pandemic, they brought back essential employees. They brought back people that really can excel. You know, one of the things that a challenge that I don't work with a lot of people that are just starting in their careers. Most of the people I work with are mid to senior level, but I every so often I have a telephone call with, you know, with people that are just starting and they're saying, how am I supposed to get experience if they're not giving me the opportunity for experience?
Yeah, it's the typical out of college, especially too.
What's happened is, especially after the pandemic, people that are, which is another thing with like ageism. Ageism is true and it happens, right? And that's when people are too old to get hired. However, the pandemic changed that a little bit because they rather hire experienced people have to train them and give them a ton of work.
And see how long they can truck.
Right. Rather than hiring someone who's inexperienced and then they have to get trained, or younger generation just says, no, I'm not going to do that. That's not part of my job.
That is all over the place right now. Because I've known that back in the corporate world, the younger generation was like, no, I'm not. Like there was like an event after work and they're like, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
And it's like, it takes the older managers are back because it's like, wait.
What do you mean?
Because like there wasn't even a consideration. I'm like, no, I work till 6 and you know, and they're like, we're giving you 3.5 months in advance. Yeah. And they're like, all right.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. You know, yeah. So, you know, there's all of that going on. And so that's another trend. Definitely. People are just, they're burnt out. They're just working too hard. They're managing too many different jobs of 3 people. 2 jobs is nothing. That's very like common. That's like, you know, but 3, I'm hearing a lot of people doing 3 jobs, right? So a lot of companies are doing that. I feel for, and it all comes back to your boundaries and, you know.
Yeah.
You could choose to stay, you could choose to go. So
it sounds like for the most part, she's good and solid. Probably been there a couple of years too, it sounds like.
She sounds like she's happy. One of the things she mentioned, we'll name her Carla. Carla is a lot of what she said was people, right? So I'm happy with the leadership. I'm happy with this person I don't like too much, you know, but thank God that I don't have to work under her. So that goes back to the conversation we were having about how important the leadership is. And not only the leadership, but the culture of the company, right?
Yeah.
And the people you work with are really important.
Really important. They're really more important than the job almost too. I can resonate when she says the raises are 2-3% and the firm keeps telling us they keep doing good in profits, because I was there. I mean, you know, we're getting a 3% raise, but yet, I mean, they're bragging about the profits. And then that's why I favor job jumping, because you wait a whole year to get 3%, when if you job hop, you get 10%. And then you compound, maybe let's not go that high, compound 5-6% job hopping each year in comparison to 3%.
No, you can make more money. And I tell that to a lot of my clients. You can make more money if you're job hopping. However, that also comes to a time where it's got to be strategic, right? So, and just like I tell my clients that've been at a job for 2 or 3 years, I said, if you like where you are, the minimum I would recommend that you leave that job for is 20,000. So because you're not getting that every year percentage, right? Yeah. So that extra. So if they're not giving you $20,000 more than what you're making now, then it's not worth a jump, right? Because you never know. It's like that grass is always greener on the other side of the fence.
You're not sure.
But you're not sure. So that's the number I like to use is 20,000. If you're going to, you know, move. But yeah, no one's really, it's rare that a company's giving more than 2-3%. And it's unfair, especially if they're, I don't know where she's located, but Miami is ridiculous, you know, and certain cities, inflation, you know, it's ridiculous. Companies should definitely, but at the same time, they're having to pay a lot more for other things too. So
they are. They're one thing. I mean, I know someone, that actually, and this is infuriating, I've seen this actually through different companies, is the same job being posted as current employees being posted that's actually at a higher pay rate than they're making. Mm-hmm. And they're going, whoa. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that same job, mm-hmm. like, and you're going to hire, you didn't want to give it to me, you know, and then you're putting this out there and it's a higher pay. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. Like I started like, especially even if it's at the same, mm-hmm. it's insulting at the same. Somebody works 3 years at a 3% raise, and then all of a sudden you posted the same job that would be a horizontal move for them technically, but that same job is now at the same rate. I mean, I've seen that, and that is really what pushes people to be like, whoa, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You know?
And I don't blame them. That in that case, I think that definitely that wouldn't be for me. A company that aligns with my values.
Yeah. Yeah. A little sneak-a-thon there.
Yeah.
I, the next one here responded to, four words when the responded to that TikTok. Man, give me the mic. exclamation. Yeah, so had a lot to unpack there. I just left it at that. Yeah. So I was like, all right, I feel it.
Yeah,
you know, it's the, I appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But probably a lot to unpack, probably, extremely unhappy. And probably she or he was probably like, I'm about to go in and then realizing how much, you know what I'm saying? And just be like, nah, I'm not, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to open up that in their mind.
You know, this is going into, and this could be another podcast too, on the subject, because most people don't take action because of fear, you know? And we're just, our brains are just built to live in fight or flight, right? And to fear the unknown. So the majority of people that aren't taking action when they hate their jobs is because of fear. And so they're self-sabotaging. And it's, if I had any, you know, like if, to leave them with something is to, you know, look at the ways that you are self-sabotaging, right? And what's stopping you from taking action and not being kind to yourself because you're living in this every single day, I hate my job. And not only is that bad,
it's
brutal for you.
I've been there.
Think of what you're doing to your friends and your family. Because at some point, people just stop listening to you. They get tired of hearing the same thing. And so it just, it's not healthy for anyone, right? So things are never going to be perfect. We don't love every single aspect of our lives. We could be with a person we absolutely love and have a day where we feel where we hate him or I hate her, you know, this, because that's just life. But because in order to appreciate the great stuff, the good moments, we have to understand how what it means to go through those bad moments. Yeah. Otherwise, we wouldn't have that, you know, distinction.
Yeah.
So the bad things are going to be there, but how long are you going to sit in it? It's, you know, I like to say I'm a certified positive intelligence coach. So when I speak about the brain and all of that, it comes from that work that I do, which is all science-based. And it's mind-blowing how many of us, you know, keep our hands on a hot stove. We get the warning, but we just still keep it there. So I like to give people that visual. If you're so unhappy, why are you staying there?
Because you're in a mental poverty.
Yeah. It's just, you know, so it sounds like hard, tough love when I say life is about choices. Set your expectations, have boundaries. And it might sound like easier said than done, but in reality, it's not that difficult.
Yeah, and you just got to make good decisions with it. Yeah. And those decisions got to be based off of non-emotional and really strategic, which involves a little bit of time. Because I tell everybody, too, that I talk to about jobs, I'm like, realistically, you're looking at 3 months before you see a paycheck from a new job and you get settled. By the time you start thinking, I should leave my job. It is not, okay, I put in my 2 weeks and then you just think, in 2 weeks, I have a job, or maybe 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to be in it. It's not, there's training. You don't get paid all the time for training. And then by the time you're actually settled in, you're like 3 months.
Yeah.
So like know that and then go based off of that. Because if you don't, you're going to start making decisions based off of what you want now. And then you're not going
to
be good.
It's easier to find a job when you have a job.
Yeah, it is. It is. And lack of making a decision is a decision. When you choose to stay at a place, you think, oh, well, if I don't make a decision, if I make a decision and it's the wrong one, it's bad. You're making a decision by staying, and that is your decision. So just know that.
Yeah.
Over to the next comment. We'll call her Alexis.
Alexis.
Alexis, yes. Used to hate my job as a nurse in the hospital because of lack of support from nursing administration. Love my job where I'm at now in hospice because it's the opposite. Our upper management is young. CEO is in her 40s and keeps her nursing experience up to date so she can help us more and also relate to us, which obviously leads to more respect from her employees. I also have a sense of purpose, which makes me love it even more. And she used to be a nurse, so she's absolutely got that sense of purpose, which is really driving her. Probably super, super sweet woman, very caring to be in that field, especially, you know, probably just...
You know, I feel I've known a lot of people that work in hospice, and I have to tell you that I think it changes them. It changes, you know, hospice, for those of you that don't know what hospice is, because there are people that don't know, is when people are basically dying and there's no cure. They're left for hospice. So they're being made comfortable at home or they're made comfortable in this facility. And so the few people that I've known that have worked in hospice have a new appreciation for life that gives them that purpose, because they're seeing the people that are dying and the people that don't have a choice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does. I mean, from reading her comment to it, she seems very leveled.
Yeah.
You know, like there's no exclamations, there's no capitals, there's no like, you know what I'm saying? She sounds doing, very,
she's doing
in a good
work.
Place.
She's doing, she feels like she's fulfilling her purpose. She's working in community.
Yeah,
you know, and she's serving others.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's someone that loves what they're doing, even if she didn't say, I love what I do.
Yeah. And we love to see that. So, and she even said, love my job. So,
oh, she did. She did say, I love my job. See?
Yeah,
but
she did.
But see, it's because service to others,
yep.
community, and purpose. Mm-hmm. Guys, that's the magic.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So that's, she's got it going. Yeah. Love you, Alexis. Yeah.
I love hearing stories like that.
Yeah. No, that is always a good one too. Cause I didn't think anyone was going to message me saying, I love my job. I really didn't think that. So it's nice to see. And then we have another, call her Sarah. Why I like my job. I genuinely liked helping my patients. So probably medical field. I like my coworkers and had a good daytime, Monday through Friday schedule as a nurse. So also a nurse. Why I didn't like my job. PTO not getting approved. Oof. Getting denied.
That's tough, yeah.
Getting denied is...
Yeah.
So didn't get approved and never feeling appreciated. More and more was always asked of you, but wages were crap.
Mm.
And I feel that, I mean...
Yeah.
Especially when you start getting PTO, which is you're communicating to your employer, hey, I need time off for X, Y, and Z, whatever it is, and then they decline it. It's tough. I mean, I can understand maybe once, especially if it's like soon, you know, you're requesting off the next week or two. But, you know, the PTO companies that decline PTO or the companies that decline PTO I've seen are really like events based where it's like, dude, no, I mean, this is our time, man. Yeah. Like we need you.
Right.
But nurse, I see nurse, cops, teachers, like a lot of those fields when they request PTO, like there's so much netting behind to really like ensure that people can take time off. If mm-hmm. if they do get short staffed, what are your steps? Mm-hmm. And I feel like those types of jobs really shouldn't be declining PTO without it being like you're asking for like a month and a half mm-hmm. or something like that, or if it's in the next like week or two. Mm-hmm. So I feel her on that, but it you know, she genuinely likes helping her patients and had a good Monday through Friday schedule. Yeah, I mean, so
she's speaking about purpose, lifestyle. Those are the two things she's speaking of, because the, you know, I love taking care of her patients, right? That service Monday through Friday, that's her lifestyle. So those are the things that are most important to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense. We were talking about that probably a good majority of the episode so far, you know? And I have, this is a comment from Ron, right on the post, not a DM. Overworked, underpaid, no support, and lack of respect, all caps, by administration and the public, plus people who are not in education making decisions on education. So obviously teacher, and I feel this because of the event that I went to, you know, with all the teachers. And so I felt it from my own parents being public school teachers, and lack of respect. I see that across the board in society. So who are going to be the worst?
Yeah.
The worst people with lack of respect? Kids. And Emily, before we were talking about, also kind of resented that. And lack of respect by administration and the public, I feel that. And I see lack of respect all over the place. And I even see it like it affecting front desk people, mm-hmm. cashiers, where one of the like my pet peeves I've developed in the last year, you're in line at some place and somebody goes up next to you rather than behind you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like a front desk person, that's got to drive them crazy. I'm online. It's driving me crazy. Like the line is never in the history of lines have they been horizontal. Yeah. They're fucking vertical. They're fucking vertical. It is behind one after another. Yeah. This whole side shit is so selfish, inherently selfish. You know what I'm saying? And so his comment of lack of respect, I feel that. The underpaid, I feel that, especially, you know, you're as a teacher, you're basically, you know what you're going to be making 30 years from now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a 3% compound, you know, and it at best.
But you don't teach because of the money.
You don't.
You don't become a teacher because of the money. If you become a teacher because of the money, then it's just, you're probably the first person in your generation, in your family, that's going to college and become a teacher or whatever. If you're doing it for the money, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You become a teacher because that's in you, you know? Most people, unfortunately, become teachers because they think, oh, I'm going to have the summers off. I'm going to have, for the wrong reasons, ultimately, right? So Ron, I don't feel sorry for Ron, just like I don't feel sorry for Emily.
Here comes the tough love. Here comes the tough love.
You know, because get out. Yeah. I mean, you sound like you hate it. So it's, if you truly hate it, if it's so bad, you know, go find something else. There are, you know, go talk to someone that can help you. There are career coaches out there. I'm not trying to plug myself, but there are, you know, you could get help. You don't need to be, life is too short to hate your job.
Well, the one thing about Ron's response, which I knew somebody who's a cop years ago who was in the same boat, which I felt bad because I was like, it's kind of like the decision where it's really a tough one, especially people coming from a private sector, myself included. It's tough to understand that the public sector, when it comes to like the mid to end level of your career, where I've had cops, I've heard from teachers too, where that famous, they sound like an inmate in jail. Mm-hmm. I only got seven years left, you know, and it's like, it's like you hate it, right? And it's like the obvious thing is like, get out, you know?
Okay.
You know, the retirement aspect.
I have a friend of mine, may she rest in peace, who was who loved what she did. So it had nothing to do with hating her job. But she loved what she did and was really good at it and very highly respected. And she retired and about a week later passed away.
Mm.
And I share that because life is too short to hate your job. Because retirement could be 7 years away, but you don't know what's going to happen in a year. You don't know what's going to happen today. You could get hit by a car. You could, so many things can happen. So that decision is also based on fear.
It is.
You know, it's, and it not being strategic, lack of being strategic. So just if you're concerned about that retirement, how is it, what can you do now to keep some of that retirement or to, you know, I don't know, just, you know, talk to your financial advisor, like just, you know, take action. But if you're waiting for 7 years, you know, you might not get 7 years.
Yeah. Worst thing in the world too would be then dying while you're still hating your job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I saw this one meme went viral. It said like, you know, if I ever die, at least make it in the morning so I didn't go to work that day. You know what I'm saying?
Terrible.
Like, it is a terrible thing, but it is true. It's like, yeah, if you know, imagine going to work, yeah, all day and then that's your last, yeah, one before you die. But no, I mean, it is a good point to where it almost brings up the Gary Vee talks where it's like, it's never too late to really, like, you know, make a decision. You know, it's never too late. You think, okay, because I hear it with cops all the time too. I only got 13 years. I got 10 years left. Military people too. And I'm like, oh my, like it hurts my soul,
yeah,
because it sounds like an inmate that is in, yeah, jail, you know, has only X, yeah, amount of years till freedom. And and that is time, and it's valuable time too, mm-hmm, because especially if you're talking before retirement, you know, you're still your good years. Yeah,
those are,
yeah,
best years
you're
of your
using
life.
Them being miserable. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, shit.
You're delaying your gratification.
Yeah.
You're delaying your happiness, your joy. I don't get it. Like, yeah, it's okay. You know, it's not okay to be egotistic. It's not okay to be selfish, right? We need to live in community. We need to love others. We need to serve. However, it is okay for you to want the best for yourself. It is okay for you to say, I choose to not be abused anymore. Yeah. I choose not to abuse myself anymore. I choose to be, you know, treated with respect.
Yeah.
And it's giving is receiving. So you give respect, you expect respect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tough love.
So if I'm Ron right now, and I just told you this, what would you say is your steps to walk me through for the next for my next 6 months?
Yeah,
because teacher, then what is it? It's April, so the school year ends in a month and a half.
Yeah. So it's important to understand, what is it that you hate so much, right? Like, why are you being disrespected? Why is it this? Because the other thing is that if you don't do the internal work, the work on your in your mind and your heart, it might not be the job. You might be jumping ship, and then you're bringing your same self to that new scenario. Nothing's going to change. Because if you haven't. So that's the first thing. And that's why I was so passionate about implementing the positive intelligence into my work. Because it's important for me to know, is this person self-sabotaging? You know, is that inner critic so strong?
That's a really good point.
You know, and because it could be, it may not be the job. It may be you and your approach to life and your approach to what's going on. Because sometimes when we hate our jobs, it's just like if we, you know, are having a, you know, if everything's connected, like we said. So if you're having a bad, if you're in a bad relationship, you're going to bring that hate and that negativity into other areas of your life. If you have a bad job, you're going to say, or you hate your job, you're going to bring that negativity in other areas of your life too. But sometimes it's not, it's like they say, where you have the pain is not really where your issue is. You know, it could be you have the pain, you're feeling the pain on the right side, but it's really the left side that it's messed up, right? So it's first trying to diagnose where that's coming from. And then if, let's say it could be somebody that's purposely, yes, okay, they're okay, it's the job. It's definitely that. The next step would be, okay, well, what do you really want to do? What would bring you joy?
Yeah.
If there was nothing standing in your way and I could just snap my fingers, what is that perfect dream next step for you? And usually people do have an answer. Some don't. And then we have to discover more. But most people do. And then, okay, what do you need to get? You know now what you would do. Okay, so how could you do that? What aspects of your job already or your career align with that next step? What have you done that's contributed? And what have you accomplished that aligns with that next step? And then start to, you have to rebrand yourself. So you're a teacher, you're no longer a teacher. You know, what is it you, you're a great communicator, you're a great, you know, whatever it is that you're an expert at. Transition that so that you're no longer, your branding, your resume, your LinkedIn profile are no longer just speaking to your teaching abilities. You can't hide the fact that you've been a teacher for the last 15, 20 years, but you can speak on your communication, your analytics, whatever it is that sets you apart, right? A lot of teachers are great at curriculum writing, right? So, you know, maybe it's transitioning into the books, working for the company that supplies the favorite, your favorite books to teach from, right? Like, or writing curriculums, or there's so many areas that people just don't see them because you're stuck in that hatred, you're stuck in that negativity. And so unless you're speaking to someone who's helping you strategize and, okay, well, these are your skills. This is where you can transition, because it's easier always to transition within the scope, within the industry somewhere, doing something different. That's an easier transition. It's not to say that a teacher can't transition into just working corporate somewhere. Maybe they go into training. Now you're working with adults and you're training, training and development, right? So it's finding out what drives you. What are the skills, the natural talents that you bring? I love StrengthsFinder. Gallup StrengthsFinder is a great assessment to find out what your natural talents are. And then aligning your skills and your major accomplishments and setting that branding so that it speaks to that.
Yeah. And really what I, in the first topic you said, really what you want to do, you know what I'm saying? Cause, you know, and fatigue, doing the same thing. I mean, I think that's kind of natural to feel like that after being in the same industry for how long, you know, I mean, it's especially teaching the last like 20 years because, I mean, you know,
and it's okay to say you outgrew. I loved hospitality. I still love hospitality. I work in hospitality now in a different aspect.
In a different aspect,
right?
That's true, yeah.
So I love the hospitality.
And you left after 22 years. Yeah.
I outgrew. I never said I hated the industry. When I left, I never said, oh, you know, I outgrew the industry. It was no longer serving me, right? So sometimes you could spend 15, 20 years doing something and you just outgrow it. And it's okay.
Yeah. And the main thing too here, what's really nice about the comment is that he doesn't actually really complain about the actualness of the job. Like you don't see here the kids. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't even mention the kids. It's just basically the
administration
stuff, the lack of support, which, you know, it does kind of mean he loves what he does, I would say, if he's not even thinking about that. So, you know, it's...
So, you know, you could be, he could be in the wrong school district. He could be, you know...
He'd probably be listening going, yeah.
He could be, you know, I mean, has he explored, you know, this is where I would say, have you explored charter schools? Have you explored private? Have you explored...
Job jumping, baby.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you don't have to stay in a job. You don't have to stay in a job that you hate.
Yeah. No, all good points in this. No, I, and it actually, the one teacher the young teacher I was telling you about at that that event.
The bar.
Yeah. I felt so bad because she was, I was asking about teaching. She says she hates it and she's going to be out of it in the next year, you know? And I felt terrible because there you have really the young generation there getting into it, putting their toes in it at best. I mean, she maybe been there maybe 2 years max and then going, fuck that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that speaks volumes because it's like, you know, in 20 years, we're not going to have those teachers anymore who have been in the district for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, 30 years. There's a guy that taught in my high school who was there 50 years. Yeah. He retired after 50 years. And, you know, I think years down the road,
you're not going to see that anymore.
You're not going to see it. And it's sad that seeing teachers job jump is a little bit sad, but you know, I at the same time I get it today, so I appreciate all this so much. This is such a great conversation. I hope that this helps somebody out there, and especially people who commented. Thank you guys for commenting, giving me your thoughts. I hope we're able to give some really good feedback and so forth. And if you want to learn more or reach out to you or so, where can people like kind of find you, learn more about you, and maybe reach out if they want to?
Yeah, so I'm everywhere. I mean, if I wasn't, you know, I don't know who's not everywhere now, right? Yeah. So I'm on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is the best because that's where I really spend a lot of time. So just my name, Vamari Roman. I do have an Instagram page, Be Productive Coaching. So Be Productive Coaching, you can find me on any of the social media channels on Be Productive Coaching. And, you know, I do answer emails. So, you know, my information is on my website, beproductivecoaching.com.
Okay. Well, that sounds great. Appreciate having you on and so forth. And I'm sure I'll see you down the road.
Yeah, thanks for having me.